Across the rugged Indian territory rides a tall young man on a mission of mercy. His medical bag strapped on one hip, his six-shooter on the other. This is Dr. Six Gun. The National Broadcasting Company brings you another episode in the exciting adventure series, Dr. Six Gun. Gray Matson, M.D., was the gun-toting frontier doctor who roamed the length and breadth of the old Indian territory. Friend and physician to white man and Indian alike, the symbol of justice and mercy in the lawless West of the 1870s, this legendary figure was known to all as Dr. Six Gun.
Here in the territory, it is said that an outpost becomes a town when three public institutions are in evidence. A church, a jail, and a school. By that standard, the town of Frenchman's Ford has been civilized for some time. I can vouch for this, as I have been inside of at least two of these institutions, and I feel it is self-evident that I am too old for school. But who am I? I am Pablo, the gypsy peddler. And this is my friend, Midnight.
Midnight?
He is a raven.
Worst jail in the territory.
Yes, he too has been in several of these institutions. Here in Frenchman's Ford, we have never had trouble in manning the church, and we usually are able to find the sheriff. But the school? There is where we have had our difficulties. I remember we were discussing it one evening at the Bull Run Saloon. O'Shea, the proprietor, myself, and my friend, Doc Sixgun.
What do you mean she quit? That's what I'm telling you, Doc. She just up and told Banker Grierson she was giving him notice. Grierson, he got hopping mad, told her he'd see she never got another job teaching school in this part of the territory. She just kind of laughed at him. Said she didn't expect to teach no more school. She was getting married.
You mean this school ma'am is getting married?
Why not? She's a woman, same as anybody else. Same as anybody else that's a woman.
Somehow I didn't think it'd happen so soon. I mean, with this teacher.
You mean because she was ugly as sin?
No. I didn't mean that exactly, but, Miss Maud seemed sort of settled.
Who is the lucky man?
Eli Parsons. He's got that spread out past Cottonwood Flats.
Sheila? You know, I just wouldn't have thought he was the marrying kind.
Well, Doc, I'll tell you. I asked him about that. He says to me, O'Shea, there are times out there on my spread when I just get to hankering after female companionship.
Well, I suppose we all do.
He told me some days he just plain pines to hear a voice that ain't either a Texas cowpoke or a longhorn steer.
Well, I thought Eli usually indulged his yearning for soprano voices at the Purple Lantern in Chisholm City.
Yeah, I know. Well, he said he just got tired of buying drinks for dance hall girls, one at a time that way. Oh. He says, in the long run, it's cheaper to buy your whiskey by the bottle and keep it in the house.
Somehow, though, I just can't see it as a match. Eli and the schoolmarm.
Oh, he ain't so bad once he shaves. That's what you made him do, shave. You know something, Doc? He ain't got no chin at all.
Well, who's keeping school now?
Reverend Burton's wife is kind of filling in, but she can't work permanent. She's got too many kids of her own to look after.
Well, that's three schoolmarms married off inside of a year.
It's got Banker Grierson worried. He said he tried everything. Tried getting in a real young gal and hoped she'd look around for a while. Doggone if she didn't up and marry one of the eighth grade students before the Christmas vacation. I'll grant you he'd been left back 3 or 4 years. Nevertheless, it just don't look right.
How does Mr. Grierson figure on filling the position?
Well, for a time there, he just didn't figure on it at all. He said he was getting sick and tired of playing matchmaker for lonely cowhands and flighty schoolmarms. He allowed us how the kids could learn reading and writing off the wanted posters on the wall of the sheriff's office.
Oh, now, he isn't serious. He wouldn't really close the school.
Well, it looks like he's got the answer now.
Oh,
I don't believe he has found a woman so unattractive that no one in the territory would marry her. There's no such woman.
No, no, that ain't it. He just plain give up on women. He's hiring himself a man teacher from back east.
Oh?
Man. Well, that's not too unusual.
He had to double the salary to do it, but he got one. He's coming in on the stage in a couple of days. Mr. Grierson, he wants to know if you could put him up at your place, Doc.
Me?
The lodging's thrown in with the wage. The town would pay board.
Well, I have got the room, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, we couldn't put him up at the regular place on account of... Well, it wouldn't look right sharing a room with the Widow Davis.
No. Well, I suppose it'll work out. I'll tell Mr. Grierson when I see him.
Well, I reckon this here school teacher's going to stay a little while longer. He ain't likely to run off and marry some curly-haired cowhand.
As it turned out, Banker Grierson was called back to Chisholm City the morning the new schoolmaster was to arrive. So he asked Doc to meet the stage, welcome the new pedagogue, and show him to his logics. I was with Doc when the stage rolled up before the Bull Run in a cloud of dust and other reminders of the fact that Frenchman's Ford was a town chiefly inhabited by horses.
There. I suppose that's him.
Oh, the thin one?
Yeah, and the Prince Albert.
Are you sure that's the schoolmaster?
Well, he's the only one who isn't packing a gun. Miss Ferris? Oh, Miss Ferris.
He doesn't hear you.
Mr. Ferris, over here. Mr. Ferris?
What? What's that? Were you calling me, sir?
Yes. I suppose you were expecting to meet Mr. Grierson.
Yes. Yes.
I'm Gray Matson, Dr. Matson. Mr. Grierson was called away. He asked me to meet you.
Oh, very kind of you, sir. Very kind indeed.
See, you'll be boarding in my place.
Oh, yes.
I suppose you'll want to get right to your room. That stage ride's a hot and dusty one.
Oh, well, you're quite kind, Dr. Matson. I would appreciate it.
Now, if you'll tell me which of your boxes, I'm sure Pablo will help us take them over.
Oh, I have no boxes. Coming later.
Oh, well, then, let me take your carpet bag.
Oh, no, it's perfectly all right. I wouldn't want to put you to any trouble.
No trouble at all. It's right down this street, and when you're cleaned up, I'll show you the school.
Oh, yes, the school. I'm very anxious to see it.
It's not much, but the only building in town that's imposing is the saloon. I'm afraid education's still something of a stepchild here in the territory.
I'm looking forward to it, Doctor. I find a new job is quite a challenge, don't you?
Yes, I do. I suppose you'll have your books sent on after you.
Why, yes, I rarely carry the tools of my trade in full view, you know.
No. Well, this way, Mr. Ferris. Look out for the puddles.
He was a tall, gangling young man with a high forehead and a prominent, sharp nose. Walking down the street, you would be sure to guess his occupation as schoolmaster or possibly undertaker. He balanced his steel-rimmed spectacles on his nose and peered with lively interest at the storefronts and the people in the streets. The next day, he took over the school. Doc heard the report about a week later from a very reliable informant.
Ouch!
Come on now, Susie. You're a brave little girl. You've almost got that splinter out.
It hurts.
Well, just once more.
Ow!
There it is. See?
Is that all it was?
I told you it'd all be over in a minute. There now.
Aren't you going to give me some whorehound candy?
Well, sure I am. Got it right here in the jar.
Mmm.
Well, tell me, Susie, how do you like the new schoolmaster?
It is a man.
Yeah, I know. He lives here.
Oh, we used to have ladies.
Mm-hmm. How do you like him?
Well, Miss Maud used to give us raps with the ruler. Mr. Ferris uses the yardstick. I like it much better.
What do you mean you like it much better? I should think the yardstick would hurt more.
Oh, it does. Much more.
Well, then, how come you like it better?
Because he only switches the boys.
Oh.
He says no gentleman would hit a lady.
Oh, I see. And how does he keep you girls in line?
Oh, he just kind of looks at us.
Mm-hmm. How's the schoolwork coming?
Well, it's kind of different. With Miss Mord, we just read the ruler and did sums and got wrapped with the ruler.
And what does the curriculum consist of now?
Hmm?
What do you learn now?
Nothing. We just listen. He reads us poems and stories and things like that. Creepy stories by Mr. Poe.
You like them?
They're a lot better than doing sums. I like the pit and the pendulum best. It's the meanest.
Yes, well, you always were a sweet little girl, Susie.
I know. Can I have another piece of candy now?
He was a strange man, the new schoolmaster. Sometimes he would sit at a table at the Bull Run Saloon for hours, reading a book, which was strange enough.
I'll tell you, Doc, I get the shivers from a feller like that.
What do you mean, O'Shea?
Well, he sits right there without batting an eye while Hoot Allen threw one of the hands from the barrel A clean through the door.
What?
Oh, he filled an inside straight the hard way.
Hmm?
With the fifth jack.
Hmm.
Well, anyways, this fella just sat there reading that book. Afterwards, I went and looked over his shoulder, and doggone, it wasn't even printed in English. Some kind of chicken tracks all over the page.
What was it?
I don't know, Doc. But it sure was Greek to me.
Of course. That is just what it was. Greek. And sometimes Mr. Ferris would sit with Doc and read to him from the Odyssey of Homer and translate as he went along. But he was a moody fellow, too. Doc told me that one night, about 2 a.m, he woke suddenly to find Mr. Ferris, fully dressed, starting out the door.
Who's that?
It's all right, Dr. Matson.
Oh, why, Mr. Ferris. Is there anything wrong?
No, there's nothing wrong. I just can't sleep.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Anything I can do?
No, Doctor, no. The various opiates and drafts are of no help to me. When the mood comes over me, I must walk in the night.
Well, wait a minute, I'll go with you.
No, please don't bother. You've had a hard day.
Well, so have you, if I know that gang of hellions you have at the school.
No, please, Doctor. I find the still of the night the ideal time for meditation. It fills an almost religious need for me, you know.
Oh?
Only in the still hours when the moon is set and the stars are clear do I feel that I'm at peace with myself and able to think clearly. I must confess I find these hours the most fruitful.
Is that so? Well, I wouldn't go far if I were you. A lot of people get nervous around this time of night when they see somebody walking around without a lantern.
Oh, of course. I'll be careful, Doctor. Good night.
Good night, Miss Ferris.
Possibly one of the strangest things started one night at the Bull Run Saloon when Mr. Ferris was once more seated at his table reading. Cherokee Sam, a horse wrangler from out in the valley, had managed to take on board enough of O'Shea's barrel whiskey to overcome his natural good temper, and he somehow took offense at Mr. Ferris' calm, uninterrupted literary endeavor.
I said I wanted everybody in the place to listen to me when I sing my song.
Everybody can hear you, Cherokee. Now take it easy.
They weren't listening. Him, that schoolmarm. Hey, you. You, schoolmarm.
I beg your pardon?
Now you leave the schoolmaster alone, Cherokee. He ain't hurting nobody.
He won't listen to my song. What's the idea, schoolmarm? Ain't my singing good enough?
I'm terribly sorry. I really didn't notice.
Look, you hear that, O'Shea? He didn't notice. Why, let me at him.
Now, Cherokee, take it easy.
Let go my arm, O'Shea.
Now, go. Cherokee, put that gun down.
Now, you schoolmarm. Suppose you tell me what's more interesting to you than my song.
This book.
You hear that? He's lying.
No, I'm not.
He's got to be lying. Ain't no book can be better than a good song. Books are for kids.
Not this one.
I'll tell you what, schoolmarm. I'll do the deciding. You read to me some of that book. Go ahead, now, read it to me. And if it's interesting to me, well, all right. And if it ain't, I'll fix it so you don't do no more reading at all.
Now, Cherokee, don't be crazy. And put that gun down.
I ain't gonna. Now, go ahead, schoolmarm. Start reading.
Very well. David Copperfield by Charles Dickens.
Mr. Ferris read for some time by the light of the flickering lamps in the Bull Run Saloon. And after a while, Cherokee Sam put his gun back in his holster and ordered a fresh drink. And before an hour had passed, he was standing at the bar, weeping quietly with tears of pure pity for the unfortunate little David Copperfield.
I tell you, old Shake, that there Marchstone, he's a no good coyote. He's a sheep herder, that's what he is.
Sure now, sure, but shut up now, Cherokee. Let the schoolmaster go ahead. Go on, Mr. Parrish. What happened next?
And so every Tuesday night, which was the slow night of the Bull Run, Mr. Ferris read to the assembled multitude from the works of Mr. Charles Dickens, and the assorted cowpokes, prospectors, and stray troopers from the cavalry post listened intently to the heart-rending misfortunes of Nicholas Nickleby, Little Nell, and Young Pip. Mr. Ferris became very popular in Frenchman's Fort. He was a local landmark and was pointed out to visiting cowhands as a mark of civic pride. One evening, there was a pitched battle fought at the Bull Run between a group of Texas cowhands who complained that the Christmas Carol interfered with their faro game, and the local citizens who were anticipating the rehabilitation of Scrooge with bated breath. And so, Doc was not particularly surprised when a delegation consisting of O'Shea and Cherokee Sam visited him at his table at the Bull Run.
What's the matter, O'Shea? You look like one of your best customers took the pledge.
Doc, the boy's been thinking.
Well, I better be careful. Last time that happened, four of them ended up in jail.
Oh, now, Doc, you be serious about Mr. Ferris.
What about it?
We're kind of worried about him, Doc.
Yeah, you know, he ain't exactly a tough customer.
No, I wouldn't say so.
No, as a matter of fact, he's real puny if the truth was known.
Now, don't tell me you're worried about his health.
Well, in a way, we are. A couple of the boys seen him wandering around the outskirts of town real late at night.
That's right. He takes long walks.
Well, Doc, he just ain't safe.
Well, I've warned him to be careful.
Well, I mean, lots of things can happen to a fellow wandering around town. It wasn't but 2 weeks ago I got held up myself. I had 4 months' pay on me. At least, wise, what was left of it after O'Shea here got through.
I warned you not to flash that roll, Cherokee.
Well, anyways, I was walking outside just to clear my head a little, and all of a sudden somebody ups behind me and sticks a gun in my ribs. And first thing I know, my money's gone, and I'm laying face down in the mud. Out cold as mackerel. Now, lots of the boys had the same thing.
Yeah, I know. Sheriff's talking about patrolling the street.
And the stage. Stage's been held up twice inside last month.
Well, what's that got to do with Mr. Ferret?
Well, we're worried about him. I mean, it don't matter none when somebody grabs my poke and hammers me on the head. I've been hit harder 3 or 4 times a night right here in the saloon, not felt any worse for it. But suppose something were to happen to Mr. Ferris.
That's right, Doc. Why, the kids all hang on to him like he was Santa Claus or something.
Yeah, and besides, he's starting to read us about this here now Oliver Twist. If something should happen to Ferris, we never would find out if he gets away from that Fagin fella.
Well, I'll try to tell him to be more careful.
You do that, Doc. That schoolmaster's a valuable citizen here in Frenchman's Ford, and we wouldn't want to lose him.
I'm really touched, Doctor, and somewhat grateful to think that Mr. O'Shea and the others should be worried about me.
Well, they sure are. Been a great many reports right here in town recently. And several of the ranchers just outside of town have been held up.
Does the sheriff know who the bandits are?
Well, it seems to be one man. Wears a black slicker and a bandana. Nobody's got much of a look at him. They do know he's got long blonde hair.
I wish I knew how he does it. I'm afraid this sad little fringe around my ears is the last of my crowning glory.
Well, when the sheriff finally catches him, we'll ask him for a secret. But seriously, Mr. Ferris, Frenchman's Ford isn't the place for an unarmed man to wander around at night.
There's a Latin quotation, I believe it's Horace, which says something to the effect that he who is good and trustworthy need carry no arms. Virtue protects him.
I'm afraid the only Horace we know is Horace Gebhardt. He's the blacksmith's helper.
I'll be most careful, Doctor, I assure you, but I'm afraid without my moonlight meditation, life would be empty indeed.
It was 3 nights later that the Bull Run was held up on the Saturday night, just before closing time. The bandit wore a black slicker and was masked. He left O'Shea behind the bar with a lump on his head and murder in his heart. But his cup of gall was not complete until the next day.
Doc, it's terrible. It's just awful.
What is, O'Shea? Your head still hurt?
No, that ain't it. You know what that murdering Dry Gulcher did.
You mean the man who held up the Bull Run?
Yeah. He held up the schoolmaster, too.
When?
Last night. You was out riding circuit. He caught him down to the creek bed. Poor feller didn't have but $3 cash on him. But that didn't stop that ornery snake.
Was he hurt?
Well, he crawled as far as the Bull Run. He'd been hit on the head, poor fella. Now, what do you think of a low-down, miserable yellow dog that had hit a peaceful, helpless critter like the schoolmaster on the head and steal his money?
Well, I better go see him. He's probably hurt pretty bad.
Well, haven't you been home yet, Doc?
No, I just got in. I better get right over there.
I'm all right, Doctor. It's really nothing.
You sure you won't let me look at that bruise?
Please, I'd just be embarrassed. I'm all right, I assure you.
I was terribly sorry to hear about the holdup.
As a matter of fact, I'm rather flattered that any bandit would think I had enough money to consider it worthwhile.
That's a very cheerful way of taking it, Mr. Ferris.
However, I shall have to reread my Horace and see if he mentions what protects a man from a pistol butt from behind.
The end came very suddenly. The black slicker bandit held up an army paymaster wagon and was shot while riding away.
That's it, Doc. They figure they're going to get him for sure now. He can't travel far, not with that bullet in him. I'm telling you, you missed a whale of a lot of excitement. Cavalry troops riding through town. Three of them Pinkerton men got off the stage this morning. And a whole handful of deputy marshals from Chisholm City.
They think he's here in town?
I'm telling you, Doc, that black slicker bandit has got to be in Frenchman's Ford. Unless he can spread his slicker and fly.
I'm sure glad to hear they'll finally get him.
Well, when they do catch him, Doc, I'm personally going to get me a box seat at the hanging. You know why?
Because they held you up?
No, that ain't it. Because he was low down enough to dry gulch a schoolmaster.
Well, Mr. Ferris, did you hear the news? They've cornered the man who held you up, and...
I've heard the news.
What's the matter? Mr. Ferris, you don't look well. Is that blow on the head bothering
you? No, Doctor. I just seem to be a little faint. I've just been packing my things.
You're not leaving.
I have an offer from a university.
What's the matter, Mr. Ferris? You really don't look well at all.
I'm not, as a matter of fact.
Mr. Ferris! Blood.
I'm afraid so.
What happened? Here, let me see.
No.
Why, you've been shot.
Yes, I have been shot.
Well, here, let me get you to the bed. Careful. Here, wait, I'll just push the covers back.
Something wrong, Doctor?
Those your guns in the bed? Here, let me get them out of the way. Now, lie down.
Yes, they're mine. Why don't you open the window and shout?
Keep quiet. How long ago were you shot?
About an hour.
That's going to hurt. Now, here, let me put this under your head. Your black slicker?
Yes.
Lift your head.
Aren't you going to call the troopers? Or at least the Pinkerton men?
I don't think you're going anywhere with that bullet in you.
I'm going to die.
Maybe. I can't probe for the bullet. Not here.
They won't bring me to trial.
Don't talk.
Does it matter? After all, a schoolmaster always talks.
I don't understand that.
You mean, am I a bandit turned schoolmaster or a schoolmaster turned bandit? A little of both.
Why did you come here?
I saw the ad in a St. Louis paper. I happened to be wanted for murder in Missouri, and I thought a schoolroom in the territory would be a good place to hide.
Then why the holdup? You must have known they'd finally expose you.
Doctor, have you any idea how difficult it is for a man of my tastes and background to live on the salary the town of Frenchman's Ford pays a school teacher?
We never had one hold up a stage before.
It's because so few teachers have the proper training.
Look out. Here, put your head down.
It's no use, Doctor. No use.
Doc! Hey, Doc!
All right.
Listen!
All right, just lie quiet now.
Doc, listen! He's around here somewhere. They found blood. He... Well... Uh-oh.
What's the matter with Mr. Ferris? Is he hurt or something?
Yeah. Yeah, he's hurt.
Why, if that dirty, sneaky, black slicker bandit did anything to Mr. Ferris, I'll tear him apart with my own hands. I will.
Wait a minute.
What is it?
I'm afraid the black slicker bandit has finished Mr. Ferris. He's dead.
There were two epitaphs pronounced over Mr. Ferris that struck me as being particularly appropriate. One was in Doc's office.
Can I have some more horn candy, Doc? Mmm, thanks. Say, we got a new teacher again. A lady this time. It's awful. She thinks it's perfectly all right to switch girls with the ruler. Gee, I wish Mr. Ferris was back.
The other epitaph for the fallen pedagogue was spoken by Cherokee Sam at the Bull Run on a Tuesday night.
Doggone it. I wish that fella had waited a couple of weeks before he got himself filled full of lead. We never will know what happened to Oliver Twist.
You have been listening to Dr. Six Gun, brought to you each week at this time by the National Broadcasting Company. Six Gun is played by Carl Weber and Pablo by William Griffiths. Tonight's script was written by Ernest Kinoy. Heard in the cast were William Keane as O'Shea, John Gibson as Ferris, William Johnstone as Cherokee, and Barbara Caron as Susie. Dr. Six Gun, a radio production of the National Broadcasting Company, is directed by Harry Frazee. Bill Rippey speaking. Dr. Six Gun, starring Carl Weber as the Frontier Doctor, with William Griffiths as Pablo, the Wandering Gypsy, has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.